Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
Great Big Owl. The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Welcome to the One Show, the podcast that self-isolates on its own at the very bottom of the podcast charts. I am John Holmes, and in common with everyone in the media, we are recording remotely in front of bookcases. Bookcases that you can only begin to imagine. Mine has all the big names. Walliams, Dan Brown, Hitler. And you join us as we gaze upon the socially distant green sofas, although not all the way through in this episode. But we'll get to that. So this week then, the swarm intelligence of Chris Packham, the residents of Runcorn stick it to government policy, and Josh Groban is unimpressed by a lemon. Joining me to go through it all like coronavirus in a care home are my The One Show co-shower Mark Haynes and stand-up animator Ginger Wizard Alasdair Beckett-King. Welcome along, everybody. Woo! Welcome along.
I would be clapping, John. I can't clap because I'm now holding my mic. Like a 1990s regional television presenter.
I have to apologise, my claps came in a little bit late because I was holding a cup of tea.
That's very unprofessional of both of you, is all I'm going to say to start this. Alistair, welcome back. You joined us in the last season of this, of course, and once again you put yourself in the firing line of The One Show. How did you get on with... well, we'll start with last Friday, I think. Ricky Gervais and Josh Groban were the guests.
And our two big guests tonight have a very unique friendship formed by... of all things, a lemon. It's Ricky Gervais and Josh Groban. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you.
How did you get on with it?
Well, the first thing, I'm watching it in lockdown, of course. Thank you for having me back on the show. Is that how you say it?
You'd normally say thank you.
thank you for having me on the show. I was watching it in lockdown, which means that my partner was obliged to share the experience with me, which she was, I don't want to say in the other room, because we've only got one room, but she was as far away from me within the same room as was possible, shouting over questions because she couldn't understand what was happening just from the audio. You don't think of it as being a very complicated show. The first thing that confused her was that the co-host appears to be called Alex Jones. Is that her name?
That is the correct
and so,
name, yeah.
So she, of course, thought of the InfoWars right-wing conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones.
Yeah. We don't know whether the Welsh Alex Jones... believes that the Sandy Hook school shootings were a hoax. I think it's safe to say we have to give her the benefit of the doubt.
It's the least we can do. That was the first note of panic I experienced watching the show.
Well, yeah. It was an interesting show. They got into their stride now. We've been obviously doing this while they've been isolating on these green sofas, sitting far apart. So we're sort of now used to the weird camera angles and the setups and so forth. But now there really are no studio guests. There were studio guests at the beginning, isolated on a green puff over there. But now they all are on screen, of course. So we had Ricky Gervais promoting Afterlife, obviously, and Josh Groban. The first thing I noticed about Ricky Gervais was he was sitting in front of a collection of his awards.
Yeah, very ostentatiously.
Yeah.
And what was good is that Josh Groban has done enough work with Ricky Gervais to know that if you do a Ricky Gervais Zoom interview, Ricky will be sitting in front of all his awards. So with Josh Groban able to bring that up, I think in the first thing he said, is Ricky sitting in front of all his awards? At least it sort of pricked that bit where you were just going, am I sitting here and is no one going to say anything?
Yeah.
This is. I mean, what was funny about that is I think we've got to the point now where the one thing that Zoom basically allows television shows to do is there are no barriers to who you can get on. So you can just approach, it's as easy to approach Ricky Gervais as it is to approach some person off EastEnders, because they've got the same amount of work to do, so you might as well go for that. And with Josh Groban and Ricky Gervais, I was like, that is not a bad bit of booking. That is quite impressive.
Yeah.
They didn't do much with it.
I mean, obviously. Well, the anecdote that they told, because they started off by going, they do the research, so they go, oh, Ricky, have you got any Josh Groban stories? And he had one, which was where he was walking in Beverly Hills and picked up a lemon he saw on the floor and showed it to just a passing Josh Groban.
Ricky, we'll have your side of the story first. A lemon? Now, what's the connection between a lemon and Josh Groban and yourself?
Yes, do tell, Ricky.
Oh, if he denies it, I'm going to sound absolutely mental.
Well, I do remember this vaguely.
I was walking around, I think, Beverly Hills, maybe on the way to West Hollywood, me and Jane walking around, and I found a lemon, this beautiful, perfect lemon on the street. There are lemon trees there. It's the land of make-believe. And as I was looking at a beautiful lemon, Josh just appeared and went, hi. I went, oh, hi. And all I said was, I'd never met him before, right? All I said was, I've got a lemon.
That was the story.
Yeah,
I think you've told a little better. I think you've made it. You've given an element of a drama that it lacks in the original telling. I'm feeling bad about. I've just switched my video off because I have all of my awards in the background on Zoom with swimming certificates, a Rotarian public speaking award from 1997. Sorry about that.
Can I actually just, there is one person who did something funny with this, which was during the big night in, and you may not have seen it, it was a BBC One thing, who knows if we'll be talking about it later, but Jason Manford was doing a Zoom and he stood in front of a bare wall that he'd pinned two A4 sheets that read bookshelves on them, which I thought was, I mean, the first time that, you know, Jason Manford's made me laugh. Well done. not that that's his role in life. He doesn't care whether he makes me laugh or not, but having worked with him, I mean, you'd think he'd have tried.
Well, he's X1 Show, of course. We shouldn't forget that. Jason Manford was famously bumped from the One Show during Sextingate, wasn't he?
And, of course, that cleared the way for Matt Baker.
Yeah.
So if Jason Manford hadn't been a Randy Sexter, the world would not have heard
of Matt
Baker.
I didn't know any of this. This is like when people explain how all the characters are related in Lord of the Rings. And it's like, oh, and this one, son of this one and that one, who was at the Golden Gate or something. I don't like Lord of the Rings as much as I look like I like Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So apologies that I can't extemporise Tolkien.
But it was a show that was, well, they're all disjointed. I mean, I want to talk about the Chris Packham film, because that was another classic One Show, speaking to its audience, but not understanding who his audience actually are.
One thing that's getting us all through lockdown and lifting our spirits is our daily exercise. And that's certainly true for Chris Packham, who's invited us along on one of his woodland walks with his dogs.
I'm on lockdown at home with my stepdaughter Megan and my two poodles. Right now, it's important for me not only to have physical exercise, but also mental relief.
Enjoy your walk.
Thank you.
Have fun.
So every day, without fail, I get out for a walk with the dogs.
So it's a film about Chris Packham, who was getting stir-crazy, or said he would, if he couldn't go on his daily walk through the woodland down next to his lovely countryside cottage. Mm. And he talked about the fact that he can get out there with his dogs, Sid and Nancy the poodles.
Yeah.
And he looked at some ants in an anthill, and he he sunbathed, even though that's not allowed, and he did mention that, but he was still doing it, even though he tried to pretend he was
clearly said, you're not allowed to sunbathe, but I'm doing it in an intellectual way.
Whilst we're out on our daily exercise stints, we mustn't stop to sunbathe, but I'm not doing that. I'm just taking 1 minute to totally immerse myself in nature. I'm lying down in this beautiful carpet of lesser celandines.
And so that's okay.
Do you know what the police love? The police love arguments like that. You try that argument with a couple of lads from West Yorkshire Police. Let's see how it goes down.
Yeah. He talked about how it was wonderful to go out just outside his door and every day was a treasure trove, he said, if you go for a walk during lockdown.
Every day is just a treasure trove of natural little gems.
I was thinking, yeah, again, you see, Chris, because, you know, people are watching this going, yeah, but my life, Chris, is, you know, this morning I went into a piss-soaked lift from the Grenfell-style high-rise I'm forced to live in. You know, it's a treasure trove of shit.
It's always important to remember to tune in to those simple things that are around you. They're there and they're free.
And I walked 100,000 times a day, Chris. I walk the same route and I just see heroin needles and, again, more tramp shit in the doorway of a soup kitchen. And I just love my daily walk like you, Chris, and it keeps me sane.
You know, I've got to get out. If I'm indoors, I'd go stir crazy. You know, this one bit of exercise a day that I share with my dogs is incredibly important for my mental health. It's about connecting with that nature to access the cure that it can offer me. Put simply, when I'm outside, I feel better.
When Chris Packham is saying, and I like Chris Packham a great deal, I like him specifically because most of the people in the countryside seem to hate him because he's really against hunting. And, you know, good on him. I really like Chris Packham. And I actually think as a broadcaster, he's really good because he's different. I think I don't mean that in the sense that he's on the Asperger's spectrum. I mean that in that he is just allowed to be himself. And I think that's a sort of unique thing to be a mainstream TV presenter who has a sort of element of danger and is exciting. I do like him. He's obviously, you know, very good at his job. But there is a thing of, I mean, when Chris Packham is saying, you know, I'd go mad without my garden, there's a slight thing about going, why aren't you people understanding the beauty of nature? I don't have any nature here. There's just pavements, you know. There is nothing to do. And I always sort of slightly feel like people are slightly wagging a finger and going, you see, you've done it wrong. You've done it wrong. There's a country bias on television, which is always about, you know, the country is proper living. And if you're in a city, you're scum.
This woodland is good for my soul. And at its heart is one spot that touches me like no other. This 500-year-old beech tree. I've sat here in sun, rain and snow. I've sat here smiling, sat here crying. This is the place that I come to sit to contemplate my place, my state of mind. Coming here, making a pilgrimage is really, really important to me.
Well, this is, again, Matt Baker's obsession with Countryfile that he presents and the fact that he lives on a farm and owns... Yeah, we had this once before, didn't we, where Matt Baker was talking about his nearest neighbour. They said, oh, they're, you know, 10 miles away on the neighbouring farm. That's my nearest neighbour. And you think, people are watching this in a council house, Matt.
Yeah.
You're not relating to them here.
Yeah, it's... I mean, just... There is... I saw a little thing that was related to... the pay that the people who presented the BBC's Big Night In were on. And I think someone had been through and found out their net worth using, you know, basically you can type in how much is X worth on Google and up it comes. Yeah. And you'd be surprised that, like, Davina McCall was listed on this list as having, like, £2 million. That's, you know, what she's worth. Matt Baker, 7.2 million. And I can only assume that, like, 7.15 million of that is from the valuable farm that he was given, like some kind of Prince Regent. My dad's got a caravan. I don't want a caravan. It's worth 300 quid. When he dies, I get a 300 quid caravan that I'll have to dump somewhere, and it will probably cost me money to do that. I'm very bitter about this, John.
My parents had a caravan in Wales that they used to, a static caravan, that they used to go on holiday. That was their holiday.
Oh, and then, static caravan.
A static caravan. Not how the other half live.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not a wheeled one for the Holmeses. Blimey.
And they stopped going on holiday there about 2 years ago when Storm Doris threw a tree through it. And it just wasn't worth, you know, the insurance went, well, you know, it's a write-off. We're not going to, we'll sort of pay you a bit, but it, it's only worth £10 now. Yeah. So that was the end of that.
There is something about the fact that actually, when you say that, I think the one part of the show that is for people who aren't really wealthy of the one show is Watchdog. Watchdog is the one bit that's for sort of like you poor people who are like, you know, I had a man come round and he's stolen all the 10p's out of the gas meter, and they're like, well, we'll look into it for you. You know, you get your... There was a sad little thing about Linfold's Wood.
Now, some sad news reached us this afternoon. BBC legend and consumer champion Linfold's Wood has died.
Along with her husband, John Stapledon, she presented Watchdog for many years and was a tireless campaigner to make Britain safer.
What did you make of that, Alistair? Were you aware of the work that... I learned things about Linfold's Wood.
I had not heard of Linfold's Wood. That was not my Watchdog era. I think it was Alice Beer hosting it when I watched it. So this was new to me, I'm afraid.
I don't understand, but it's a really odd thing. Linfold's Wood was around for years, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone comment on the fact that her surname... She's married to a guy called John Stapledon, who's a broadcaster as well. She didn't take Stapledon, but her surname is Folds Wood. Lynn Folds Wood. It's like a sort of... It's like an opening of a ballad. No one's ever gone, isn't it a strange name that a woman on television has got the surname
like a magic
Folds
carpentry
Wood? Yeah, exactly like that.
How much wood could a Lynn Folds wood? If a Lynn Folds wood could fold wood.
Perfect. What a fitting tribute.
It's what she would have wanted. But I didn't know. The tribute that I take from that, I didn't know Lynn Folds Wood basically invented soft children's playground floor.
She was a real consumer champion. When she saw a wrong, she wanted to make it right. She changed so many things. Playgrounds, for example. I remember going out and doing a piece with her when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And playgrounds used to be concrete, and she campaigned to get that changed so that they were much softer surfaces so that children didn't have such awful accidents when they fell over.
When we were growing up, it was all concrete and broken glass in Nuneaton, obviously. Dog shit. So Linfold's Wood came along and said, no, this is dangerous. You need that floor that we have now in playgrounds that is sort of looks like tarmac but isn't.
Yeah.
It's sort of bouncy stuff.
Mashed up old
I'm slightly lunging you, and it is. It's a sort of delicious kind of velour. It's absolutely luxuriant.
Well, you can thank Linfold's Wood for her campaigning. So if anything... Anything is her legacy. And also, they said she was so good on Watchdog. And I think I'm right in saying she invented the programme Watchdog because she was a consumer champion for the tabloids, wasn't she, in the newspapers?
That's right, yeah.
Back in the day. And she kind of invented the programme Watchdog. And they said, oh, it's amazing that she presented Watchdog. And I'm thinking, well, she is still alive. She isn't presenting Watchdog now. So presumably she got to about 40 and the BBC binned her off like they always do.
Yeah, I should imagine. So, there is something about the fact that they've made so much about Watchdog coming to the One Show. And within 2 weeks of it coming in, Lynn Folterwood, the person associated with the most, has... Now, I'm not saying that she died of embarrassment or shame. But John... Alistair, we cannot rule that out. I mean, credit to her. I mean, as you say, you know, it's amazing that she's the person who made these playgrounds not have concrete floors. It's slightly more amazing that... We used to have playgrounds with concrete floors, and people were like,
"They used
that
to just have bits
fine.
Of broken glass."
Yeah, she had to come along
them,
and go,
like,
"Maybe
you know,
we
like
should
walls,
get
walls." You know, those bits of broken bottle just staked in there.
The number of times I fell off like big spider climbing frames. Do you remember the climbing frame that had a big spider?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a big spider thing, and it had these sort of jointed legs. So it was basically like five ladders going up. Then there'd be a flat ladder. And then a ladder going down, and then a spider's body. Now, as a kid, you wanted to get on the spider's body, and that involved basically going up, along, and down a ladder over some concrete.
At the age of four. I mean, what?
Lynn Folds Wood may not have been a genius to come up with that, but thank God she did.
We helped to change laws, standards. We helped to make homes safer. We did a lot.
Yeah, she sort of single-handedly saved the NHS, who before all this coronavirus were overrun with children with snapped limbs because they've fallen off a spider.
That's right. That's the younger kids and the older kids had to have different lunch times when you were at your first school because they didn't want to swamp the NHS because 94% of the kids would end up in casualty on any given day.
Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There was another odd wood bit in the Chris Packham film as well, where I did a slight double take because he was talking about, you know, the ants, the wood ants you could see here and the beautiful flowers and the bird song and the beech tree. And then he said, I've got this wooden
yes,
enemy.
I heard that exactly the way you heard it.
On every walk, there's something different to see. Look at this beautiful little wooden enemy.
I looked up thinking you'd got the horse from Troy. But it was just a flower I'd never heard of before. But I was thinking, this is great, a wooden enemy.
He also has a water enemy, a fire enemy, and an earth, I think. I don't know.
Do you know who he desperately needs here? He needs Lynn Fold's wood.
Yeah. Lynn Fold's wooden enemy.
The thing that confused me about... Well, one of the problems I've always had with this sort of light broadcasting is there's a convention that you pretend the crew aren't there. Like, you'll always see it like, we'll be here in the desert, and then we'll pop into our Jeep and we'll drive off into the sunset. You're like, yeah, but you have to drive back and pick up the camera operator who's filming this. So it isn't real.
Yeah.
Which has always annoyed me, but in the era of coronavirus, my sort of suspicious antennae are all the more heightened because Packham's documentary was pretty well shot, and they didn't explain who in his household of one child who was in the shot and two dogs was doing the photography.
Yeah.
So I'm here ready to phone the police about a camera operator who's breaking curfew.
Yeah, I mean, entertaining though it was, a Packham film in a wood is not an essential, is it?
I felt, John, I felt we may have seen Chris Packham walking around a wood and talking about it before. I think this didn't feel to me like a groundbreaking piece of Chris Packhamiana.
I tell you what was groundbreaking, though, the residents of Runcorn sticking it to the government.
No. There are lots of difficult things with this lockdown, but one of the positives has been, apparently, neighbours are getting on better.
Yeah. So we caught up with the residents of a street in Runcorn as they had their daily catch-up on the things we're all talking about.
I love this.
This was another film where clearly, Alistair, they sent out a camera.
I was curious. But the visuals of it look like Russell T. Davis era Doctor Who, where it's just sort of boring suburbia and lots of people standing in a slightly unsettling way.
It really was. Yeah, yeah. But you got the impression that, well, again, two things. One, do the residents of that street in Runcorn regularly come to the end of their drives for a distant chat with each other? Or have the BBC made them do this? Mm. Which way round is it? And if it's the former, which one of them has written to the One Show to ask them to come and film it? It's just bizarre.
I thought it was... there are two things I really loved about it. One, I mean, you're absolutely right, Alistair. It was like there was something unsettling and suburban about it. And that made it feel like an art project by an artist that I find it a little bit difficult to understand what he's doing. Having loads of people standing quite stiffly, talking about really mundane things. It's just like an art project where you're sort of going, yeah, aren't people who aren't artists stupid? I couldn't put my finger on what it was. But the second thing I loved is there was something so British about it, which is in the lockdown, the Italians are on their balconies singing opera contraltos and everyone's joining in. And in Britain, our big viral hit is a load of pensioners standing outside moaning about the slowness of their refunds for holidays that they've booked and now can't take place.
We're supposed to be going to Italy on holiday tomorrow, but we're still waiting for the refund. It was cancelled about 3 weeks ago.
We've got another holiday booked, holiday of a lifetime. We planned in Costa Rica next January, and I don't think we'll be going on that either yet.
Concerns about whether our travel insurance would actually cover us for coronavirus.
It was a really sort of British moan, a low-level moan on everything.
The other odd thing about it was they opened this by... At first, I thought they just put the Neighbours theme tune over it in post-production. Mm. But no, they were... The BBC, presumably, unless, again, it's the Neighbours that do it, were playing the Neighbours theme tune over a disco speaker across this entire street. What's going on?
Oh, I love this happening?
And it's full of great new catchphrases that I've been using ever since I saw it, such as the lady who went, well, if it's a paper mask, it'll be wet in no time, and that's no use nor ornament.
It's going to be wet in no time at all. So it's neither use nor ornament.
No use nor ornament. The motto of the One Show, no use nor ornament. My favourite line from this little bit of the cul-de-sac chat is the woman who went, I mean, it's not in the British culture to wear face masks. And I thought, oh, yeah. My little dog whistle going up.
It's not in the British culture to wear
face masks.
I wonder what they had to cut straight from after that, because I bet she went on for 15 fucking minutes.
The woman next to her as well was a great. She was going, no, it isn't. It isn't. No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
You've got a street of racists.
Oh, it was amazing. Not in the British culture to wear face masks. It's not in the British culture to die of fucking COVID-19. We're doing it now. You know? What she basically wanted to say was, I don't like the Indians. Make that clear. Make that absolutely clear. Right.
I don't like foreigners. They've brought this disease over.
I couldn't tell if the BBC were asking, because it was interspersed with questions that popped up, and I don't know if these were the questions that came up naturally in the conversation, like, should we let immigrants in and those sorts of things, or if the BBC had asked those questions. But if they had asked those questions, they were all questions that the people of Runcorn were unequipped to answer. It was things like, when should lockdown end? Gene from Number 7 doesn't know. Gavin doesn't have the answer. Why are you asking?
Joe, do you think the elders should be kept in more and just be made to stay in lockdown a lot longer?
I sincerely hope they don't lock us down for longer and longer.
I hope they don't lock me down.
I think it would be good to have an end date in sight. Yeah. I know it's a very difficult balance to get.
When they said, should they keep restrictions, extend restrictions against the elderly, it was two old ladies who, let me tell you, I'm not going to be unbiased about this. They just began saying, oh, I wouldn't want it to go on. And they went, no, me neither. But I liked it because... At this time when there's so many people on television, being experts or, I mean, early projections would have it, but it's too soon to... I really like the meaningless chit-chat. It's exactly what it's like when you just go shopping. And it was... I think in the future, oddly, some of these One Show films will be a better representation of what life was like during the coronavirus than anything else you see on TV. Because largely it's boredom and just old women talking around going, oh, well, I never did. That's what it's like.
That's Britain. That's the Britain we love.
And that's why we have to win, damn
it's
it.
It's no use. No.
That's why we've got to beat this thing.
It's no use or ornament. No use or ornament. That'll be the big book about Corona. An yeah. oral and social history of Corona. No use, no ornament.
Speaking of ornaments, Ricky Gervais's awards then. So he'd got not even all of them lined up behind him, but I think I noticed an Emmy and, you know, yeah. various other sort of trinkets there. But when you do that, so it didn't seem ironic, did it? Do you know what I mean? Because if you do not, you do choose your background. I mean, you're Ricky Gervais. You're working from home, as he said he was, and he said, "Well, this is just my office." And I think, well, you know, you've got a very neat sort of decanter of sherry or something behind, or brandy or something behind you. And all these awards were very carefully spaced out.
Do you know what it is, John? You might have the awards behind you, but if you were a warm person, then I think, and not a warm, maybe a humble person is a fairer sort of assumption of it. But everything that Ricky Gervais said, you are used to Ricky Gervais saying, and it's gone into your ears, and you might not have picked up on it because you noticed the awards, but you couldn't work out why you were feeling uncomfortable about it. You're feeling uncomfortable about the awards because everything he said, John, was like a verbal equivalent of showing off your awards. So yeah. I wrote down some of the lines he said. He talked a little bit about, they said, so are you seeing more of your neighbours? And he said, no, no, he said, when I moved in here, we knocked all eight bedrooms into one.
Ricky is still with us, Ricky. Are you getting on better with the neighbours these days? Or is this kind of an excuse to get away from them?
Yeah, I never let anyone anywhere near the house anyway. So, in fact, when we moved here, the first thing I did was knock all eight bedrooms into one big bedroom so friends and family couldn't stay.
It's a weird, like, eight bedrooms and I knocked them all into one, and you sort of, I don't know, so I began to sort of go, the things he's saying, I don't know if he's sort of lost a little bit of that common touch. He was talking about people writing him letters. I mean, you know, I mean, people normally come up and they say, you know, oh, I love the show, or well done on the Globes.
My agent got like 300 letters in the first week. That never happens. No one writes a letter anymore. But it was people telling their personal story. And when people would come up to me, they usually say, oh, like the show, or well done on the Globes.
And it wasn't a joke. He just speaks like that the whole time. And those awards behind him are just compounded by the things that he says. It'd be one thing if you had the awards and you go, I mean, it was so many lovely people that we worked with here. But when you are constantly going, you know, unrelatable sort of, mate, yeah. I know it's American. I know, you know, he's very successful. We all know he's successful. He doesn't need to tell us every third word.
I mean, I think we should be glad that we've got, because he sort of always played that faux arrogant, you know, I deserve this kind of thing when he started winning awards. And as you said, it's just started to be a bit weird that he's continued to win awards and is living in wherever he's living in Beverly Hills and is hugely successful.
But he hasn't changed the shtick,
but the joke isn't there anymore. But I'm glad, because I think the only thing worse than a successful Ricky Gervais would be an unsuccessful Ricky Gervais with all of that ego packed into a guy who had all of those dreams but had been cheated and had his career sabotaged by all these people. Because I'd be much more likely to know him personally if that had happened.
I think you're talking about me.
That's what I'm saying. We don't need two.
Also, Josh Groban, who was also in this Zoom chat with Alex and Patrick Hilty, I looked him up because he also is quite an award-winning star.
Yeah, he's one of those. He's a huge star. I know his name. I vaguely know he's a singer. Other than that, he has had no impact on my life, and I don't understand how someone could be so big and yet so invisible.
We've seen him on the One Show before, playing the piano, I think.
Yeah, that's the only exposure we've had to him. That's how I know he's a singer.
But when I Googled him, it said he'd won an award for classical artist crossover. He'd won that. He got some Emmy nominations for soundtrack stuff as well, I think. None of it was behind him. He was just sitting with a blank wall and, I think, a picture. Yeah. At one point, he was sitting in his shower with a One Show logo he'd printed off himself and sellotaped to the shower cubicle.
Like Giles Brandreth. There's a land that I heard of once in a
lullaby. And the One Show logo stuck up there in the corner.
Well, I know that you love the show, but gosh, I didn't realise you'd have a sign in the shower. I got out my scissors and my tape just for you.
No half measures, you see, with a Groban.
No.
America's Giles Brandreth. Josh Groban! But again, I think, you know, part of his huge success, and this is, I know nothing about him, but I think part of his huge success is he does seem to be a relatable, down-to-earth, yes, nice, humble guy. And I suppose if you are going to book him, if you're booking Ricky Gervais, yeah, get Josh Groban on as well, because that will balance out the universe's sort of, like, litmus.
Well, he also, Ricky also was, and he always does this as well, which is fine, because that's his paymaster, but he was very big on the Netflix plugin.
I've never had a reaction like it. And I don't just mean the size of the reaction, because that's a reflection of Netflix having 170 million subscribers.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of adverts,
yeah,
what happened on the Thursday night in the one show slot? There wasn't a one show. Mm. What there was instead was the first half an hour from 7 to 7.30 of BBC One's Big Night In.
Tonight, for the first time ever, Children in Need and Comic Relief have joined forces.
So put down that banana bread and stop that online quiz and prepare to be entertained.
This is the Big Night In.
The Comic Relief Children in Need charity event raising money for both of those charities, but also, you know, the NHS stuff. Why we decided to watch it was because it was shot in the One Show studio.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Matt Baker.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks after leaving, he's wormed his way back in there, hasn't he?
Yeah, having isolated all that time.
Yeah.
Now he's back, presumably a bigger paying gig.
I'm sure.
Add to his £7.2 million estimated fortune.
He was very keen to say at one point, did you notice this, Matt Baker, when he came off the back of a film, one of the heart-rending films that they always have to show. He was very keen to say...
And those of us who had taken part in the show tonight, well, we've all made a donation too.
I thought that was very interesting. Right. Very, I think that's something we've changed. I think that's us, the viewing public, starting to think that we're being conned by charities. You know, oh, yeah, all these rich people just telling us to give our money. I think that has to be in there, otherwise we'll go, no, I'm not having Matt Baker with his nice farm telling me what to do.
I agree. I want to know how much of his farm he donated. And I also want to know how much of Lenny Henry's massive house near Reading he donated. And wherever Davina lives.
I have personally donated £3 of Baker's. It's all right, they were coming up to the BBE diet. They could not legally have been sold, but I'm happy to be here.
But the advertising that I was mentioning, there seemed to
just
be
eat,
a big
yes,
advert for
that was,
just
that was
eat.
A borderline. I've written borderline advert on my notes. That was incredible for the BBC.
Here's my jammer to tell us how Just Eat are supporting the Big Night In.
Come rain or shine, our friends Just Eat have been working flat out.
It's a privilege to get food to the people who really need it the most.
There's only one thing left to say from everyone here at the Big Night In. Thank you.
And we will repeat that because a very big night in. Thank you to the entire Just Eat family.
Now, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that.
You only watched the first half hour, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't stomach any more of that.
I watched all 3 hours.
What's wrong with you? Oh, you've got nothing to do. Yeah.
I specifically stayed up till 1 a.m. to get through the end of it, so no one could say. The thing is, you can't criticise, like, a charity show unless you've seen the whole thing, because how are you to... Well, do you know what? I am, right? And now I'm going to criticise it. But they had lots of sections throughout, like the Just Eat one. They did for Asda, they did for Sainsbury's, and they would have, you know, for many years, Boots has been a huge supporter of Children in Need. And we've used it to our advantage, you know, brackets card, Boots have an advantage card, that sort of thing, that playful pun. But they had those throughout the entire thing, and you got to see basically infomercials about how the supermarkets are dealing with the crisis and how they are, you know, reaching out to help the poorest and the most vulnerable. And that was all the way through. But they were just big companies who were being promoted on the BBC.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, you saw a couple of food banks and stuff, but why aren't we seeing the charities who are doing all the work talking about the work they're doing rather than Asda giving it the great big boom, boom, boom in a period where they're making, like, I think their profits are up 30%. yeah, this time
absolutely.
Last
year. Ditto, Just Eat. I mean, again, they are doing their work for charity. They are delivering food to the needy. That was kind of the point of the film they were saying. But there is a motorcyclist walking around in a massive Just Eat branded jacket on primetime BBC One.
Yeah.
And it just jarred a little bit, didn't it?
Certainly to people of our generation who grew up watching the BBC, that the advertising was absolutely verboten. You would never, ever see it. We come from the generation where you weren't allowed to have anyone who was still alive appear on a stand. I remember there being a big. It was on the 6 o'clock news and then the 10 o'clock news when they released a stamp that had Freddie Mercury on it, and it was then later revealed that Roger Taylor could be seen in the background of the shot, and they were like, Roger Taylor, a living man, has managed to get on one of the nation's stamps, and he is still alive. Questions in Parliament about whether they should kill him now. Would that limit the?
Because at that time, it was believed that being on stamps stole your soul, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's right.
What it did was, I believe, it leached some of the Queen's power. And if you had that and you turned to the dark side, my God, I can't quite remember how the news story ended. But I think
a portal opened.
But the you cannot forget, of course, that things like Zoom are a commercial enterprise that is, not, you know, and this show, we've got to a point in the lockdown now where if you have a joke about Zoom in your set, that is now hack material.
That's right.
For me, Zoom is the new my mother-in-law. I tell you what, I wouldn't say she was, a slow girl, but it took her 7 hours to set up Zoom. People will laugh because they go, Zoom, the thing.
The banter at the beginning was utterly excruciating as well.
Yeah,
this
wasn't it?
Right at the top of the show when they had a little chat about Matt Baker's return to the One Show studio.
And welcome to the Big Night In live from the One Show studio. Matt, do you like what we've done with the place?
Do you know what?
The jacuzzi in your dressing room was my idea.
There's a jacuzzi. I put a jacuzzi in your dressing room and Matt was like, ha, ha, ha. You know, it was just really awkward. What have you done with the green sofas, Lenny?
I do like it, Lenny, but what have you done with the green sofa?
Ah, right.
Come on.
yes, myself, Matt and Davina are here with
them. It's just horrible.
That they really think the green sofas is a recognisable thing across Britain, that you go, green sofa, you go, oh, the One Show.
I mean, we've
done it because we've talked about how they keep pushing this green sofa agenda as being a thing that everyone's aware of. No one is aware of it. And it came out there. I thought it was... They slightly did that thing of Lenny was there, Lenny Henry being funny. And I thought he was actually really good on this. I think he's a really good sort of genial host on shows like this. He was... He's a comic. He just does a nice, flowing sort of thing. The problem they're hamstrung with, of course, is that they're mixing entertainment with sorrow. And this is a classic One Show thing of Handbrake Turn the entire time, that you have to go, we've got the amazing Sam Smith coming up next. And, you know, then they go to a really sort of sad, horrible bit where Sam Smith is singing.
And that brings us to the end of part one of this week's The One Show show. We'll be here again tomorrow with part two because, sequentially speaking, that's how this sort of thing works. For your safety, this podcast has been injected with bleach. Goodbye.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our Twitter name.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.